Poslušate SBS Slovenije. Prisluhnite še drugim zanimivim zgodbam na sbs.com.au/Slovenije.
Nadaljujemo današnjo slovensko oddajo na radiju SBS širom Avstralije in po svetu. Naslednji gost je Avstralec po rodu, ampak ima zanimivo povezavo s Slovenijo, sicer po njegovem očetu. V kratkem bo tudi šla njegova knjiga z imenom The Greatest Escape. Danes pa nam bo več spregovoril o tem in seveda ga najprej lepo pozdravljamo. We welcome Neil Churches to the Slovenian program on SBS Radio around Australia.
G'day, good to be here, Tanya.
We've not spoken to you previously on this program, as far as I'm aware, so I guess please tell us a little bit more about yourself. From my understanding, you're Australian, no Slovenian heritage, but have an interesting link to Slovenia. Tell us a little bit more.
No direct family link to Slovenia, but I grew up from about the age of 14 being surrounded by lots of Slovenian food, Slovenian culture, and visits to the Triglav Club out in Western Sydney. Because my father and mum went to Yugoslavia, as it was then, in 1972, on my dad's long service leave, and he caught up with a whole bunch of old friends there that he'd met in 1944. When they came back, we were part of going to the Slovenian community as often as possible, at least once a month. And the reason for that was Dad was an Australian soldier captured in Greece in April 1941. And held by the Germans in a work camp in Maribor. After 3 years of trying to work out how to escape, he decided that the partisans looked to be the best bet and found a way to get in contact with them, and managed to slip away from the work party and got up to a town in the Pohoju and got to the partisans, saw how organized they were, and asked them to come back and help him get everybody else out from the camp. So I knew nothing about this story until I was 14, when they came back from Europe. And all of a sudden, we were eating different food and drinking different drinks and having completely different conversations. So that's my connection with Slovenia.
How was that for you then? You said you were eating different things, drinking different things than what you had previously. How did that then shape you then as a 14-year-old?
Well, it was completely bizarre. My parents were older than everybody else. In my particular age group, they're at least 20, 23 years older than any other parent in the street. So they were already odd. And now they'd gone off to Europe and they're coming back and eating and putting this really odd food in front of me. So I felt it was really strange. At first, I didn't like it, but it grew on me.
What's your favourite food from a Slovenian perspective?
Oh, strokli.
Very good choice. And we must say to the listeners then, and those that may even remember your father and yourself, obviously growing up in Western Sydney here, in those days, your father was Ralph Churches. So that name
yes.
may be well known, let's say, within the community as well, the wider community from that perspective, not just in Sydney, but also in Adelaide, because your father was from South Australia.
Yes. But the thing is that because of what he'd achieved in conjunction with partisans, when he came back to Australia, he was sworn to secrecy by the Australian authorities, by the British and Australian authorities, so he could never talk about it at all. So nobody knew anything about this until he was released by the Australian government in 1985 from being able to talk about his adventure in Slovenia. So as far as anybody in Australia knew, he was just somebody who'd been captured in Greece, was a prisoner of war, and somehow come back to Australia before the end of the war. There's a complete mystery as to how he'd done it. In South Australia, he was just Ralph who'd come back from Europe. Nothing special. It was only after 1985 that he could talk about this. Now, when they'd come back from Europe in 1972, all this food had arrived, but the story was, I didn't know the story. It was only when a Slovenian turned up at the front door one day when Dad was out playing golf and wouldn't go away because he wanted to meet Dad that I got to know the story. And this is a guy called Karol Cholnik, based in Melbourne, who'd come to Australia in 1949 and set up a very successful business, market garden business, down in Melbourne. In 1972, he'd been decided he'd go back and visit his friends in Maribor. As an Australian citizen, he thought he was secure in being able to do that. He said he'd been trying to find Ralph Churches everywhere in Australia and couldn't find him. his friends in Maribor burst out laughing and saying, he was here 2 weeks ago, here's his address. So that's how he turned up on our front door. And he had a photograph of himself and Dad in a forest with a whole bunch of other people on this escape that Dad had managed to organise with the partisans. That's when the story came out, but Dad didn't tell the story. He kept his secret. He would just ask Carol some questions and Carol would tell me the story. So I never got the story until Dad was released from secrecy, and then I nagged him to write a book. And that book was a thing called 100 Miles of the Crow Flies. And that tells a story about how the partisans came back with Dad to a railway siding in Oschbolt, just outside of Maribor, and they captured the German guards and took all 100 members of the working party with them, and they headed off into the hills and walked 285 kilometres over 15 nights from Oschbolt to Semic, down near what's now the Croatian border, near Metlika. There was a secret British airbase there supplying the partisans. And after a couple of days, six DC-3 Dakota planes flew in with supplies, took out partisan wounded and all 100 prisoners down to Bari in Italy. And it was the most successful escape from prisoners of war of the 20th century. But complete mystery. Didn't know any of this until Carol turned up at the front door. Before that, there was no explanation as to why we were eating different food and drinking different things beyond that they'd had a good time in Yugoslavia.
In listening to this story, I guess, did you have this sort of sense of what is going on here? This is not my father.
Oh, it was complete confusion. Complete confusion, because up till that point, my father and I were at loggerheads about just about everything. So all of a sudden, this person who I didn't like very much was somebody who was a bit special, which was very confusing.
And I believe they also wrote a documentary. I think there was a television documentary about this as well.
Well, the reason he was allowed to talk about it was because Yugoslav television and SBS television got together and made a documentary in 1985 where they took Dad back to Yugoslavia and connected him with the partisan leaders that he'd been involved with in the escape. And with Les Laws, the Dad's co-leader of the escape from England, and they basically talked through the story. Now, when SBS had originally approached him, Dad said, no, I can't talk about it. And they said, no, we've arranged clearance with the Defence Department of Australia, so you can talk about it. So that's when he was actually be able to start talking detail about this. So, yes, that was the first documentary. And then in November 2016, I got an email from a production company in the UK saying we're doing a series of four documentaries about escapes from occupied Europe, and we want to do one about your father and the escape from Slovenia. Would you be interested in being involved? And I said, yes, of course. So in April, May 2017, I was in Slovenia. We did selected bits of the escape route from Maribor down to Semic. Wow. And had a wonderful time.
And that was your first time to Slovenia?
No, I'd been to Slovenia for the 70th anniversary of the escape in 2014. And that was rather special because I was representing my father, who was 97 and quite ill at that stage. And so attended a memorial event at Oschbolt, which was being streamed back to my father as best we could in his nursing home. And I thought it was just going to be a simple thing, but it was much, much bigger than I expected. There was the mayor of Lovrenc na Pohorju, there was the mayor of Maribor, there was a Slovenian National Army Honor Guard, there was the Partisan Association Honor Guard, there was a brass band, there was a choir, and a group of about 200 people at this railway siding next to the Drava River. And it was just far more than I expected and really quite overwhelming. And I realised that then that this is a big deal to some people in Slovenia. So that was something that I was that really touched me. And but I also, that's when I had my first experience of Slovenian hospitality over about a period of about 10 days, and I fell in love.
And so you mentioned earlier about your father wrote the book 100 Miles as the Crow Flies. Now you are about to publish a book called The Greatest Escape.
Yes, that's right. Well, I nagged Dad to write 100 Miles as the Crow Flies, to have a first-hand account. And he struggled with it for about a year. He had lots of nightmares in the process. And he delivered a version. He was concerned still about security issues. So it's a very particular focused book around what actually happened. So at the beginning of lockdown in 2020, I decided a lockdown project would be to try and write a more detailed, researched version of what actually happened. And so I approached a publisher in the UK, Pan Macmillan, and they said they were very interested in producing this book. So they gave me a royalty advance and somebody who could co-write the book with me as my researcher. And we spent 2 years writing the book. And the original idea was just to find out exactly how accurate Dad's story had been. And the nice thing that came out of it is that Dad's story as written was incredibly accurate. The only things that are not accurate are where he's removed pieces from the story for security concerns. What was he understood to be security concerns in his head? Now, it's extraordinary that in the British records and the Australian records, there are still some areas of this escape story that are considered top secret and not available for researchers to look at. And apparently won't be available for another 20 to 25 years, which is just crazy, but in my mind, but that's how it is. The book gradually developed because I wanted to give a context for how the story actually happened. So what we've ended up with is the story of the British and British Empire, British Commonwealth troops who were captured in Greece and those that were held in Slovenia and southern Austria and what their experience was. But also I think we've produced the first English language general history of the occupation of Slovenia by the Germans and the Italians and the resistance by the Slovenian people against that occupation. That is a very, I think it's a compelling read, quite apart from my father's story.
Research that's involved, you mentioned, you go across a number of countries. There's a lot of information, obviously, going back and forth. There might be some listeners here that lived through World War II. Everyone will have, obviously, their own version of what they lived.
Yes.
What kind of research did you do and how deep did you go into that? Can be obviously written, that's not in still in secret, to show that this is actually the true story of what happened.
Well, I was very lucky in that the researcher that I found for the book is somebody who's got very strong contacts with Slovenia. He's young and energetic and has strong connections with Slovenia because he also fell in love with Slovenia about age 20, but he's got a very good historical research background. His name's Edmund Goldrick. So he's reasonably fluent in German, becoming fluent in speaking Slovenian, but is quite good at reading Slovenian. And I introduced him to a number of people that I had met in Slovenia who had contacts with the various partisan organisations. He got in contact with a range of people in the history faculties in Slovenian academic research. He also did a lot of research in the Imperial War Museum in London and in the National Archives in London and then in the National Archives and Australian War Memorial in Canberra and also in the New Zealand Archives. So as well as the archives in Graz in Austria. So yes, we've done a lot of hard work through the official documents, but we've also got an awful lot of correspondence between my father and lots of people in Slovenia over the years, because Dad visited Slovenia five times between 1972 and 2000. He corresponded for about 20 years with a number of people in Slovenia. And we've also corresponded with a lot of other members of the escape party, as well as with people in Slovenia who have slightly different opinions about some of the history that we've researched. We've tried to be as balanced as possible about what the story was, and going on both anecdotal evidence, but then trying to find exact documentation.
So it sounds like quite a lot of research involved, very extensive to be able to write this book. Are you a writer by background? Is this the first sort of project you've done of this size?
This is the first big project of this size I've done, which is why the publishers were keen for me to have a co-writer, researcher. And so it's been a very interesting dance between Edmund and I, between me having a vision of what I want the book to be, and he's saying, no, this is the research we've got, it doesn't match that. And I said, no, go dig deeper, because I end up breaking the stories this, go and dig deeper. And there's been a couple of points where some major breakthroughs have occurred, because he's found something in a spot where I've said, I'm sure there's something there, I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't feel right yet. And he's gone and dug some more, and we've found in this process that there was a very large involvement between the Special Operations Executive and the OSS, the American version of the precursor of the CIA, that's the equivalent of the SOE, and MI6 and MI9 in this whole story. That on one level, Dad's escape is like a trial run by these organisations to work with the partisans to try and get more prisoners out en masse. But everything actually fell apart in terms of the relationship between the SOE and MI6 and the partisans at just the wrong time. And so that opportunity was missed, so that Dad's trial run was the only one that actually happened.
Wow, so it sounds like an interesting read. As we say, it's being launched on the 26th of May in the UK, I understand?
In the UK, yes, and the 31st of May here in Australia and in New Zealand.
So how can one get a copy of this book called The Greatest Escape?
Well, Pan Macmillan Australia assures me it will be available in all bookstores. It'll be available online in any of your online bookstores. It's available as a hardback, a Kindle, or as an audiobook.
Wow, audiobook as well. Wow.
Yes. And the person who's read the audiobook is fluent in German as well as English, is able to speak the German words appropriately, knows how to do the Italian words, and has been coached in how to pronounce the Slovenian names, both people's names and also the place names.
Wow. And do you speak any Slovenian along this?
Oh, very, very little, I think. once I've been in Slovenia for a few days, I can follow a conversation and I can, you know, get by with being able to say Dobro jutro, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, beyond that, it's something that is on my list to get more fluent at. But I've had a book to get out of the way first.
Yeah, and it depends, obviously, what part of the country you're in, because if you're in Maribor, it might be slightly different to down in Semich.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
One thing before we sort of wrap up here, I also read that you have an interesting venture.
The Crow's Flight, yes, which comes from, there's a walking trail that has been marked out that mostly follows the escape route that Dad took with the partisans. And it's labelled with a yellow circle with a black crow in the centre of it. It's known as the Vranovlet. And the reason why it's called that is because my father's nickname at the camp was the Crow, because he was the only prisoner from South Australia. And, of course, South Australians are known as crow eaters, so he was the Crow. So that's why the trail is called Vranovlet, and my business is the Crow's Flight, and I take people on the walk, either the whole walk, all 285 kilometres, or I have a number of shorter versions. It operates between beginning of May and the end of September. We're not getting people walking through snow, but we've Dad in 1972 went with the partisan map makers over the route they took, so we've got an agreed map, agreed by the partisans and Dad, as to what route they took, and that's the map that we take on our walk, which is slightly different from the Vranovlet marked trail, which the Vranovlet trail tends to be closer to where you can get to by car, so you can do day sections of it, whereas sometimes we head up deep into places that are not necessarily easily accessible by car. But we stay in 3- and 4-star accommodation. We have fabulous food all along the way, really wonderful guides.
So if anyone was looking to say, join one of these treks, let's say all those walks that you'd be looking to do, how can they contact you? Website or?
The website is thecrowsflight.com. It is currently being revamped at the moment with current dates that will be live. The existing website is was sort of set where it was in 2020 before the pandemic. So it's being redone now with new dates, and they will be accurate by the 26th of May when the book comes out.
Lovely. So we hope that that will go well, obviously, as well as the book launch on the 26th of May. That's everyone there can have a look for The Greatest Escape in all your bookshops or online, of course, and all of audiobook, as we heard there. Neil Churches, wish you all the best with the book, and obviously hope you can travel back to Slovenia shortly.
Oh, thank you very much, Tanya. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the Slovenian countryside again and Slovenian hospitality.
Všečkaj, deli, komentiraj. Spremljaj SBS Slovenijo na Facebooku.